Well, good morning. It's a great morning in Vancouver, although not as great as where the gentleman I'm going to talk to is right now. I'm very pleased to have with us Randolph Antonio. Randy, welcome to the show.
Aloha. Welcome to Maui.
We're very pleased to have you with us today because it's not just that you are in the real estate world in Maui, where of course everybody in Vancouver is interested in, but you are very clearly an expert, long-term lover of Maui and representative Maui. I remember you had actually a booth at our Land Rush event.
Yes.
And you're always were a big hit about talking about Maui. But what people perhaps don't realize is you have names behind your name. There is an RS, a ABR, a CIPS, a CLHMS, a CRS, a CFR, SRS. My goodness gracious, you know, you have obviously achieved a lot of different things. Tell us a little bit about what it is to be a certified international property specialist or short sale foreclosure resource certification and all of those things.
So Oz, you know, I'm grateful to be here. Number one, thank you for the opportunity to speak to your audience. I am also I love Vancouver. I used to own property in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I think I might have told you that. So I sold at when it was going to high. So I bought low, sold high. I follow your steps.
Good way.
But as far as being a realtor here on the island of Maui or in the state of Hawaii, you know, as with any realtor in the U.S., we have a lot of what we call designations that you can earn. And because of my longevity in the business, I felt like in order to be the best representative for my clients, to be the best advocate, you know, it's always good to continue and get higher designations. And that's exactly what I've done, is that over the years, I've achieved different designations. One of my most current one is the CIPS, which is the Certified International Property Specialist. And what that does is it taught me how to work with international clients. Not that I have in the past, but this has more solidified the knowledge that I need to understand all the various issues that is required when you're working with cross-border clients,
yeah,
especially with immigration issues, visa issues, EB-5, and also, you know, currency exchange. I mean, there's so many facets that one needs to know when working with international clients. And the CIPS, what it teaches us is how to also understand the customs of people from different nations. So if we studied the five continents and how they do business in their country, and it was very fascinating. So I'm glad I got that designation. Another designation that's really important to me is the SFR, which is Short Sale Foreclosure Resource Specialist. Now, that designation is not as critical as it was 10, 15 years ago when we had the crash of 2009 and 8. So that is something that is still holds true, because whether or not we go into that market again, it always exists. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Well, that's true. There will always be foreclosures. But what we have, in fact, in 2009 and 2010, my partner and I, we went into Phoenix and we bought, you know, like 10, I think the totality of 18 different short sales. And we never understood what it was. Just briefly tell us, what is a short sale in the United States?
Yeah, and, you know, to sum it up, a short sale is basically when a homeowner has a loan and the value of the home is less than what is owed. Therefore, it's short of what it's owed. Right. The value is below what is owed. So it's called a short sale. And the bank is willing to work with the homeowner to sell that property below what is owed. Therefore, as opposed to having a foreclosure on your credit record, they call it a short sale, which technically has a less impact versus having a foreclosure on your credit record. So the bank negotiate with the buyer to take less than what is owed.
Yeah, so, but the interesting thing is that you actually can put that on your MLS. You can actually say this is a short sale, but
correct,
doesn't mean though that the price that's being for sale is actually the one that's being offered to you, even if you paid it, right?
Correct, so.
Still a negotiation thing.
It's all negotiable. So let's say you owe $1 million on your loan and you're gonna short sell it for $800,000. Now, that doesn't mean the bank is going to take 800,000. Normally, the agent, they talk with the bank ahead of time, and they do get appraisals and broker price opinions before they set the price. And again, it's all negotiable. And so, and normally, you do get 10, 20% off of what's owed. So it is it's a very good value if you can get it.
Well, to most of our investors, you know, that's always music, you know, 10 to 20% off, you know. But, you know, we have gone through a lot in the last few years. But can you sort of give me an idea, what's the current real estate market like in Maui, and has it changed in the last year?
Oh, definitely. We've had a huge change in our number of our supply. Number one, inventory has dramatically increased. So it is a buyer's market right now, which I've been in the business 23 years on Maui. So I've seen the ups and the downs. And our current supply levels are definitely 10 months for condominiums, right? So when you have any 6 months or more of a supply, that indicates that you're in a buyer's market. So 10 months is very high. I haven't seen these levels since maybe in the early 2000s when I first got into the business. So it is a tremendous opportunity for investors, especially Airbnb, people who want to buy second vacation rental properties on Maui. Is an excellent time. The single family home market is not as impacted. We're in a 5 month supply. So we're kind of like in a balanced market for single family homes. And a lot of this is triggered by from the fires that happened a year ago. So, and unfortunately, we're still recovering from that. It's going to take a while.
Was that mostly in Lahaina?
Yes, Lahaina town. So for those of you that have been to the islands, Lahaina is a historic town on the west side of the island. It's maybe, its population base is, if it's all of Lahaina, including Kapalua, you know, it's a big area. But the Lahaina town itself is maybe about 5,000 residents, all right? And it's maybe about 5-7 square miles. So it's very high density living in a small area. And that was the area that burned down, was the historic town along the waterfront.
That must have had some real impact on the economy. And so there's those key economic conditions that affect the real estate market. There's, of course, the residue of the fire. What else? Why are there so many listings now?
Yeah, it's a very complex situation here right now, especially when you have a national disaster, you know, that's, and they just finally, after 1 year, it's been 1 year, it was August 8th when we had the fire. So it's been, you know, maybe 14 months since we've had the fire, and they finally cleared the burn zone. Okay. So that took a very long time. I remember when you're an island isolated in the middle of the Pacific, you know, to get materials, to get labor, to get all the things that you need to clear a major disaster area was a major effort through FEMA and the government. I couldn't believe that they finished it as soon as they did, because, you know, I was just, but it's done. So they cleared the clear zone, the burn zone. And so now it's a matter of rebuilding and recovery. It's a matter of bringing tourism back. Tourism has actually been coming back. Our tourism numbers have increased now that it's been a year. So it's all positive signs.
Yeah, we had certainly, you know, everyone goes through this terrible time, but very few as devastating as what happens in a small town. I remember the town of Kelowna years ago had huge fires, and yet within a year or two, you know, the major effort of all the communities and the governments, and, you know, it actually came back stronger than ever, right? Now, I have a special place in my heart for Maui, because I used to have a restaurant years ago. And when in September, when the Labor Day weekend was, we closed that restaurant. It was a summer place primarily. And we go to Maui, and we stayed at the Maui Lu. I don't even know whether it still exists. But
yes, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, it was owned by a Canadian.
Maui Lu, yes.
Maui Lu, yeah. And,
that's in Kihei where I live.
I have the most fondest memories, of course, of Heavenly Hana, and, you know, all of the wonderful things that you can explore that are very, very unique to the island. Now, one thing that we've done here in British Columbia is we have sort of a short-term rental restriction, or an Airbnb restriction. You also have some sort of a moratorium on Maui, don't you?
We do. So I'm glad you brought that up. So one of the major reasons why we have such a big supply right now, especially in the Airbnb market, is because of the fire. When the fire happened, the government, the local county council, said that we really need housing for the locals, especially with all the people that were displaced. And so one of the, one of the factors that came out of this discussion was that maybe we need to pull back the number of STR, short-term rentals, off the market and make them long-term properties again so that local people can have the opportunity to rent them or buy them. Because we have over 7,000 units that were in jeopardy of losing their license. That's a tremendous amount of units. And the impact, financial impact of losing the STRs caused havoc. As soon as they announced it, it caused havoc. And without really doing a very thorough investigation, they just made an announcement, right? And that caused havoc.
Yeah. That's, that sounds very much like British Columbia. Out of
Really?
blue, we have a developer that maybe spent $20 million buying a large piece of land ready and living by the rules. And then all of a sudden, sorry, the rules are changed. You can no longer have short-term rental that you're building. So the investor said, well, I cannot make a return if I put a regular rental income rather than a short. And so they stopped buying. So
Yeah.
the effect in British Columbia has been very, very negative. That for you had a specific reason, at least that makes some sense. We out of the blue said
Right.
we simply have to do this. So it is a permanent thing.
No, there has, after that announcement was made to the general public, and of course it hit social media outlets, it hit all the internet, inquiries about what's happening after the fire, what's happening with short-term vacation rentals on Maui, especially our biggest clientele, by the way, are the West Coast region of the United States, all the way up to Vancouver, Canada, right? The West Coast, California, Washington, Oregon, Vancouver, Canada in general, is a huge market for Maui. Therefore, and we have a huge percentage of Canadian owners here on Maui, stemming from the 1970s when the Canadians were even part of the building of the vacation rentals here on Maui. So it's a strong relationship. It's a strong relationship. So it did cause tremendous havoc, and it caused a lot of people to panic and say, maybe I need to get out of the Maui market right now if they're going to pull my license.
So does that mean if opportunities for investors that don't want, or at least homeowners that want to have a second family home, or that are not dependent on the idea of a B&B, does that give you special deals or special opportunities?
Yes, definitely so. As I mentioned, we're at a 10-month supply of inventory. Last year, it was 3 months supply, right? So you put a vacation rental on the market, it was gone like within a week. Nowadays, days on market is maybe 120 days to sell that particular condominium. And there's two things that one needs to know when buying a vacation rental condo here. We have apartment zone and we have hotel zone. A hotel zoned unit is legal and cannot be pulled. The license cannot be pulled. So the 7,000 units I was telling you that are in jeopardy, those are mostly apartment zone. So when you have an apartment zone condominium that is Airbnb, but apartment zone, but they do have a grandfather clause to vacation rental as long as the development allowed it. Those are the ones that are in jeopardy. And those are the ones that we're seeing a lot that are on the market right now. Okay.
But that's, I think that's why they need an expert though, because when you have a lot of product, and yes, you're going to have some owners that really need to sell. I mean, they were
Correct.
still banking on getting the full income,
Yeah.
and they may have had mortgages in relation to that. So they owe a lot more money than they had thought they would, and now they don't have the income to offset it. So they're willing to sell. Whereas maybe I want to just have a home for myself. And go there a few months every year. So what about that average buyer? If I go to Maui now, buy a condo, and but I only use it 3 months a year, what can I do the rest of the 9 months? Get a long-term tenant, something like that?
That's correct. What I find it most of our investors that I work with, and I work with all types of, either they're looking for short term or long term. The beauty of buying a short term vacation rental condo is, of course, you can do whatever you want, rent it daily, weekly, monthly, 6 months, whatever you want. And the thing is if these permits do get pulled from the apartment's own units, then we will have a lot of units that were normally vacation rental are now long term. And the question is whether or not you can get the income to support that, because as we know, a short term vacation rental will typically produce much higher revenue than a long term unit, right?
Maybe. Yeah.
Which is, of course, the reason for the purchase. However, that being said, you're back to your question. Yes, you could definitely long term rent your unit. Typically, a long term lease is 6 months or more. And so if you were to buy an apartment's own unit that was formerly a vacation rental and no longer can do that, then you'd have to rent it out for at least 6 months minimum.
6 months minimum. Yeah, we have a very similar kind of legislation. Well, so what is the outlook then in your mind, looking at all the products there? What's the future look like?
Of course, nobody really knows. However, that being said, I feel very optimistic about what's going to happen in 2025. A couple things have happened in 2024. Number one, it's been over a year since the fires have occurred. And a lot of the things that we knew would stem from the fires, such as increase in HOAs, increase in insurance, which is a major issue right now, insurance policy premiums for the master policies of the condominiums have skyrocketed. A lot of the major insurers have left the state because of the fire and other things, the cost of doing business here, so to speak. But that being said, it's been over a year now, and now we have a better sense of where the county is going with the Airbnb market. We should have an idea by next year, January, February, of if they're going to pull the permits or not. So a major decision should be coming down by early next year. All right. And that will have a big influence as to where this Airbnb market is going. Another thing to consider also is that the future of Maui has always been very resilient. After the pandemic, this fire, the Maui community is very strong, very resilient. They're going to build better. They're going to build better. They have better sustainability. They've been thinking about a lot of things and how to rebuild Lahaina. And of course, the whole island in general has always been a brand in the tourism market. Everybody knows Maui. Everywhere I travel in the world, when I say I'm from Hawaii, I'm from Maui, they're like, oh my goodness. It's like paradise to them. And
so did they come back this summer? Or?
Yeah, so this, we're starting to see an uptick in tourism in the last few months, which is very good. Maui in general usually gets around 200 to 300 visitors a month, and that's very strong. Mm-hmm. For an island of about 180,000 people to see that kind of tourism influx. So that being said, I feel very positive about our real estate market, because with the elections over, which was another issue, people were sitting on the sidelines, and every 4 years this happens in the U.S. Yeah. When the presidential elections, people sit on the sidelines and they're just waiting. What's going to happen?
It's something that you and I have to live with. Governments, we may agree, we may not agree, but we will survive all governments,
But yeah, we always do. You live with it, you deal with it. Yeah. And so I think the future impact, and some of the economists for the state of Hawaii are also saying the same thing. They're like, yeah, we feel very strongly about the overall economic situation in Maui and the state of Hawaii. Again, Maui is a brand name in the tourism market. People have brand loyalty to Maui. They always come back. If you have a love for Hawaii, you will always come back.
So what are the challenges that's specific to realtors?
Some of the specific challenges we've had definitely were in an election year, people are sitting on the sidelines, So we've had a lot of people that want to come back and want to reinvest. They were just waiting for this election to end with, and certainly so, it's already happened just in the last few weeks. I'm getting fielded with calls again, like, oh yeah, I'm ready to come back. I want to see what's going on. And I'm telling you, this is the opportunity right now when you have an inventory of 10 months, especially in the condominium market, you have opportunity to pick what you want and negotiate with the sellers. So there are some great deals to be happened if you are willing to enter this market where, again, 2025, we're looking at interest rates hopefully dropping next year. So it's a very good window.
What were some of those sort of, can you sort of share a notable transaction, something that you maybe did that was worth mentioning?
Well, there's, I've worked with so many clients over the years, over the 20 years of my business. And most definitely right now, one of the things I can remember is a recent sell representing sellers. And these are a typical profile of an investor on MAU. They are, especially for our Airbnb buyers. So these clients of mine, I met them early 2000 in my career. They are from Iowa, of all places, from the Midwest. And when someone from the Midwest wants to buy in Maui, it's total sticker shock, you know? Now, people from California, Vancouver, they see our prices, like, oh, it's not bad. You know, yeah. It's like, it's similar. But they came from Iowa, of all places. And I always like to tell this story that they came here with a certain budget. And remember, this was early 2000. So it was a buyer's market also back then. And they ended up buying a vacation rental, two-bedroom condo in Kihei, where I live, in a beautiful development called Kamaoli Sands, which is across from the beach. And a lot of Canadians own in this complex, a very big Canadian community that owns in this complex. So they bought this condominium and they said, Randy, we want to buy it as a vacation rental and we're going to retire in maybe 10, 15 years, but we want the, we want the income to support the vacation rental to buy the property. And then we want to retire part-time on Maui. I said, okay, excellent. And being a new agent, I'm like, okay, is this what people do here? They buy vacation rentals and they live here. They use it and then part-time they live here. And that's exactly what they did. And so for the first 10 years, they rented it out. They always had a good cash flow because at the time prices were low. But they definitely, in 10 years, they ended up moving here and moving into the condo. So they retired, they moved into the condo part-time. And then 5 years later, they sold the condo and bought a house because at that point they said, we're going to live here full time. So this is a typical story of when we do consultation with clients. It's like, tell me why you're buying here. What is the reason? Tell me about your exit plan. When do you want to let, tell me about the future? Because a lot of people, when they invest, they don't think about the exit plan, which is extremely important.
Well, it always, not just in Maui, it's really everywhere. We used to teach in our club that when you buy, at the same time, you've got to have in your mind when I sell, what exactly my purpose, what is it that I want to do? Now,
for sure.
I know that you have in your website, first of all, you've got to be congratulated because you haven't spent a lot of time on all the other letters behind your name. But, anybody that's voted as a Realtor Association of the Year by their fellow realtors has to be a especially unique person. So I know that anybody is watching this video and seeing you, you got to go to their website. And his website is below in the description. And if you listen to us on the podcast, just send me oz@juroc.com or go to ozbuzz.ca and get Randy's information, because it says that he can get you hot buys and bank-owned properties and or at least walk you through the process.
Correct.
You need somebody on the ground that understands the local market conditions. Tell
Absolutely.
Me the lowest priced condo right now, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but what are we looking at in terms
so,
of
so let me tell you, Maui County, so every island is considered a county. Maui is a county. Kauai is a county. The Big Island is a county. Maui County is comprised of three islands, the island of Maui, the island of Lanai, and the island of Molokai. And the lowest priced condominiums, vacation rental, are on the island of Molokai. Now, Molokai is not, they're not a big tourism spot because it's very low key there. There's no major hotels there. It's for someone who wants total reclusivity because there's not much happening there. Mm-hmm. But the actual lowest price vacation rental condos are less than 100,000 on the island of Molokai, So it's a beautiful, beautiful island. You can see it from the island of Maui when you have island views from Maui, which is why people love Maui, because it's the only island where you can see other islands from the coastline. And the island of Lanai is another beautiful island, but it's very, very expensive. It's where Ellison has the Four Seasons. Larry Ellison owns basically the island of Lanai and has very, very expensive properties there. So it's not the lowest price, it's one of the highest price. And then in Kihei and Lahaina or west side, Ka'anapali area, the lowest price vacation rentals on the island of Maui are probably going to be in the low, in the high 300 to low 400 range. Okay. And those would be a studio. Some of them are hotel zoned. So if you want a hotel zone vacation rental, the lowest price you'll probably find is maybe closer to 500,000.
Because you can rent these on a short-term rental basis, I guess.
And it's legal hotel zone versus apartment zone, as I explained before. So the hotel zone properties will always be a premium now because they are legal vacation rentals, yes.
Well, it's interesting, obviously, you know, for $100,000 in Vancouver, you get a good front door, you know, and $300,000, maybe you get one room with it. It's certainly very, very affordable. The big thing is the climate is there. And from the West Coast, in particular from Vancouver, it's easy to get to, relatively inexpensive.
Yeah, I think, you know, I always have clients that are always wanting to come visit the island. Says, go check, you know, the airlines because they run specials all the time. And right now I was just checking airfares for WestJet and Air Canada for the week of December 9th through the 17th December. It was less than $300 round trip.
I couldn't fly from Vancouver to Kelowna for that. I mean, and that's about a 5-hour flight. And then you're
5 hours nonstop. And then you're in the beautiful 25 to 27 degree, you know, Celsius weather. And you can go in the ocean. You know, Maui is year round living. This is why it's so amazing to live here, because every day is like summer for the most part. And you can jump in the water year round. You can play golf year round. This, unlike other investment hotspots like Arizona, Las Vegas, Texas, those are, you know, you don't have year round weather there.
No, I mean, like I said, I've been to Maui many times, not in the last 4 or 5 years, but we used to go, like I said, every single year. And every single year, the whole family was always looking forward to, gosh, you know, what a great place to be. Randy, it's been a very interesting conversation. And I know that for anybody going to be interested in the island of Maui, you keep sending me these glorious, you know, you lust after some of these properties that you're sending out because of the environment and what they look like and what is available. I think that, as I said, you know, if you want to get a hold of a real expert and somebody that really cares about his clients all of his life, I've had nothing but good comments about Randy that for anybody from Vancouver that went to go see him. So if you do have an interest, go down, see his website. He has his email there. And if you don't do nothing else, get onto his hot buys and bank-owned property list.
Absolutely. I send them out every month. So I'd love to have everyone come visit the islands. We love to have visitors here. And the culture and the beauty of Hawaii awaits you. And at $300 round trip, you cannot pass that up.
No, you can't. You know, I feel like just taking the round trip. Look, Randy, thank you so much for doing this, and I wish you all the very best.
Aloha to you and your beautiful ohana, and we hope to see everybody come to the islands. Thank you again.